Good afternoon, and welcome back to Prison Cast from WBEZ Chicago and Illinois Public Radio. This show is being broadcast into prisons and jails across the state right now, and everything you hear comes from requests and ideas from you all on the inside. Like this request from Miracle at Hill Correctional Center, who asked to hear the relaxing sound of rain. The reason we play requests like this is not only so you on the inside can hear them, it's also so that people listening on the outside get a sense of the thoughts and experiences of Illinois' incarcerated population. It's our job, as journalists, to report on what goes on inside our state-run prison system, which brings us to our next segment. A quick heads up, this story is dealing with death and self-harm, and it'll last about 12 minutes. The Joliet Treatment Center, about an hour outside of Chicago, is a specialized Illinois prison meant to provide intensive mental health care. But some incarcerated people and civil rights lawyers say the treatment there is abysmal. Incarcerated people are left isolated in their cells for long stretches while their mental health deteriorates. Desperate for help, some have chosen to do something extreme to bring attention to their troubles. They set their locked cells or their own bodies on fire. In the last 3 years, there have been more than 70 fires at Joliet Treatment Center, including at least a dozen cases of self-immolation. From our partners at the Marshall Project, Shannon Heffernan reports on one of the fires.
Around 10 p.m. on a summer night in 2024, smoke wafts down a hallway lined with prison cells. Minutes later, red flames licked the window inside cell A9. Jason Steffens is locked inside. We pieced together what happened using security video footage, 911 dispatch calls, and documents from the prison and fire department. As seen on video, about 10 minutes after the smoke first started, a group of guards walks down the hall. But when they arrive at the door, they do not let Steffens out. Instead, the guards open a food slot and spray a fire extinguisher and pepper spray inside. Then, smoke so thick you can barely see what's happening on camera, they walk away.
Joliet 911, where's your emergency?
We need the fire department here.
A prison employee calls 911 about 20 minutes after smoke first appeared on the security video.
We were able to extinguish it from what I can see.
Is there still smoke, though?
Yes.
Okay. All right, and are you guys, like, evacuating the inmates immediately around there, away from it?
We're still dealing with the situation. I can't answer that.
The fire department arrives within 5 minutes. But precious time has already been wasted, and more is about to be lost. According to a firefighter's report, guards did not immediately tell firefighters Steffens was still in the cell, even though plenty of prison employees would have known. In the video, people meander up and down the hallway before firefighters say they were finally alerted. They open the cell to find Steffens' limp body, his breaths shallow. It's been more than 30 minutes since smoke first appeared. Steffens' airway is charred.
Call for ambulance 6. Male patient unconscious.
Guards handcuff Steffens' unconscious body, and he's loaded into an ambulance. The ambulance drives to the exit, but there, at the prison gate, the delays continue. Guards won't let the ambulance leave until prison employees fill out paperwork and guards are available to accompany Steffens to the hospital. An argument erupts between the fire department and prison employees. According to one guard, a firefighter said, "This man can die while y'all pussyfooting around." A fire department employee keeps calling back to dispatch to let them know the ambulance is stuck.
All right, Joliet, ambulance 7 is in between the gates.
About 7 minutes after getting to the gate, they call again. They say they are doing advanced life-saving care, ALS for short, to try and save Steffens. A machine is forcing air into his lungs.
Just so you know that we're still in between gates. With an ALS patient.
15 minutes at the gate, a firefighter calls back to dispatch again.
Just so you know, we're still doing ALS care in between the gates.
21 minutes at the gate, they call again.
Just having our record, ambulance 7 is still doing ALS care in between the gates.
26 minutes.
Ambulance 7 is still doing care in between the gates.
Finally, nearly 28 minutes after they arrive at the gate, and over an hour after smoke first appeared, the ambulance is allowed to leave. At last, the prison got guards to accompany Steffens.
Gate is open. Ambulance 7 is going to be in Rothes Joe's.
Steffens finally arrived at St. Joseph Hospital near the prison. In the months leading up to the fire, Steffens had repeatedly told staff he was desperate to get a blood transfusion to help with his sickle cell disease and would do anything, including hurting himself, to get help. He repeatedly swallowed glass, but the prison did not give him what he wanted. After the fire, doctors performed a tracheotomy, cutting a hole in Steffens' throat so they could insert a breathing tube. His mom, Yvette Steffens, said doctors told her he was getting better. So 2 weeks after the fire, when she got the news, she didn't believe it.
He didn't make it. Maybe they would have gotten there quick enough, he would have made it. He was my friend. Not only my son, but my best friend.
Steffens died of smoke inhalation at age 38. For years before his death, there were signs the Joliet Treatment Center was unprepared for emergencies like this. There had already been repeated fires. One man needed a skin graft, another lost his leg. But even after that, the state fire marshal issued a report saying the prison could not provide an evacuation plan. Some alarms at the prison were disconnected and inoperable. On Steffens' wing, guards were unsure if they even worked. And the delays at the gate? The chief of the local fire department, Jeff Carey, said they complained about the problem for years before Steffens' death.
After every time we had a significant delay, somebody would reach out to them and let them know that whatever you fixed didn't work. We need to be able to get in there faster.
Even after Steffens' death, the problems did not stop. Fire officials continued to document problems with alarms, delays, and evacuation plans. The issues that lead men to set the fires also didn't change. Men continued to report a lack of mental health care and say they spent long stretches isolated in their cells. There have been more than 60 fires at the Joliet Treatment Center since Steffens' death, including at least 8 cases of self-immolation and a second death. The state has refused to provide some key documents related to the deaths, and the Marshall Project is now suing to get them. The Illinois Department of Corrections did not answer our questions about the fires, citing pending litigation.
That reporting came from Shannon Heffernan, one of our colleagues at the Marshall Project and a founding member of PrisonCast. Lauren Frost produced that story. We wanted to get you some more context about the situation at the Joliet Treatment Center, so we reached out to a guy named Patrice Daniels. Patrice used to be incarcerated there. He was also a plaintiff in the class action suit about prison mental health care that prompted the state to open the center. He is now locked up at Dixon Correctional Center, and he joined me on a muffled prison phone line. So, Patrice, you had told our colleague from the Marshall Project that you were impressed with the Joliet Treatment Center when it first opened. How was it different from other prisons that you had been into?
The very first thing was people would constantly ask you how you were doing, right? Hmm. And it seems like, okay, that's a given. But in fact, no, it was a very bizarre thing to have people be like, are you okay today, Mr. Daniels? Are you all right? You know, anything we can do for you? And you're like, whoa, what is this, right? So the first thing was the kindness, the care, the food. I'll never forget the first meal I had there. French fried sweet potatoes, patty melt cheeseburgers on toasted bread, and oatmeal raisin oven baked cookies. I'll never forget it. It was crazy. It was quiet. It was clean. We were always out the rooms. We would go to gym every day. We would go outside. There was 3, 4, 5, 6 group therapy sessions a day. I often tell people it was a breathing, thriving organism dedicated to wellness and stability.
Now, you have also talked about how this prison, which is a special prison meant to provide intensive mental health care, started to deteriorate while you were still there. What was that experience?
Well, I would say the first thing that happened was that we got a new warden. The new warden came in with a more corrections, punitive, just a very different mind frame and mentality about what this is going to be like.
Okay.
Staff members took their cues from that, too. You know, I vividly recall a correctional officer at the Joliet Treatment Center saying, man, I'm glad she gone, so now we ain't got to keep playing with you guys. Like, effectively, they understood that, like, we can get out now. We can beat you into compliance. We can respond how we used to respond to people acting out as a result of their mental illness, right? So that happened, and then here comes COVID-19. And what COVID-19 did was it gave license to restriction. It gave license to confinement. Remember, the reason we were out of the cell so much, Aaron, was because of the fact that they had concluded that being in the cell was a detriment to our mental illness. Now they're saying that because of COVID-19, we have to relegate you to the very conditions we said were harmful in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was this mass exodus of staff members. Everybody who came to the Joliet Treatment Center for the right reasons, ultimately they started leaving too. And so they began to retain people whose only understanding of the facility was through the prism of restriction. And so then the Joliet Treatment Center began to feel like everywhere else.
You're familiar with that story from the Marshall Project about the fires at the Joliet Treatment Center. What does that bring up for you?
Oh, man, it's sadness. It's a level of grief. There are young men who are forever scarred, permanently disfigured as a result of this self-immolation. It's a sad, sad situation. And it's an indictment, in my opinion, of the department's lack of will to actually do the very things that they know they can do effectively to create thriving, healthy environments within the correctional system.
That's Patrice Daniels talking to me from Dixon Correctional Center. You can read more about the Marshall Project's investigation into prison fires at wbez.org/prisoncast. If you have information you want to share, email us at prisoncast@wbez.org. And if you're locked up, you can write to WBEZ Prisoncast, 848 East Grand Avenue, Chicago, Illinois, 60611. Still ahead on the show, we hear about how to start getting emotionally intelligent while you're doing your time. Also, how much fast food is too much? We'll try to find out. Stay with us.